Last week we started a short series on preparing for the return of Jesus and the first resurrection. We're going to continue in that this morning, but let us pray. Let's again come before the Lord. Dear Lord, we ask you to lead us into your truth. We know, O God, we do make this a personal prayer to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, you know whether you need to speak with a small, still voice, or if it needs to come with thunder to awaken us. Please, Lord, let your word go forth to me this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Help me not to listen to the person for the person sitting by me, or behind or in front of me. Help me to listen, Lord, to what you are saying to me. We pray the devil will not steal your word, but that you will come in power among us this morning. Come in power even with me now, Lord. Thank you for the praise. Thank you for the worship, Lord. I am ready. I am waiting. Speak to me. Amen. So if we can again turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verses 6 to 9, just to set the scene. As I said, this short series last week, is really about four themes that are all closely related. One, receiving your crown of righteousness. Receiving your crown of righteousness. Secondly, longing, loving the appearing of Jesus and being ready for the resurrection. Hallelujah. And how we are to prepare ourselves for the return to earth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. We will just read verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not, that I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. And, you know, in verse 8 it says, And to her it was granted, this is the church, this is the bride who's got herself ready, to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Who are the saints? We are all true believers who are in faith and following the Lord are the saints. Thanks, Alan. Hallelujah. We also mention, now did you get this? In verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. There was no silence. There was no hiding behind the person sitting in front. They bellowed it out. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. We also mentioned about the Apostle Paul's testimony, did we not? 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. See, the Apostle Paul, we knew he suffered much for his faith. He knew what persecution was. He knew what it was to be opposed for his faith. After all, he was one of the greatest persecutors of the Lord's people until the Lord met with him on the Damascus Road. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord shone, and he became a worshipper of Jesus. He repented of his sins. And then, of course, because he became the great apostle, the great church planter, he suffered for his faith. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the fight. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Well, I'd love that to be my, as it were, benediction. Yeah, to have that confidence, to have that faith. All who are looking and longing for his appearing, they will indeed receive the crown of righteousness. And that's what the Apostle Paul was looking forward to, because the Apostle Paul knew that this life is just the start, is just the beginning. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection. Glory to his name. And the Word of God encourages us, all who are born again, who are seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have a deep longing for the return of Jesus. Because that will extend, it will involve us in the resurrection. Hallelujah. By faith, we live in resurrection power today. Hallelujah. Because he lives, I live too. I can live that abundant life that he wants for me. I can live that overcoming life because he lives and he lives in me. But I'm still wearing out. This body is corrupting. One day, you know, the new birth is the most amazing thing, and we should be excited about that. I pray, O God, I pray that each one of us will get back to our first love. To get back to that amazing place where we just sat at his feet in wonder, worship, and adoration. And we had a zeal for the lost. A zeal for those who still do not know. Who this wonderful truth, who are still in darkness and will go to hell unless they find Jesus Christ. But I pray also we will look forward to that day when Christ shall appear and we be given a new body, a body like the Lord's, a glorious body. That's how it's described in the Word of God. Then life really begins. Hallelujah. Glory. And that's why we should be, one of the reasons we should be longing for his appearing. Yes, that we will see the one we love, the one who loved us. We will see him. No veil between. No sin. Hallelujah. We will see him. We will receive that crown of righteousness. But we will be transformed into a body like unto the Lord's. That's amazing. We must get excited. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, you will come amongst us this morning. Are we qualifying for that crown of righteousness? Are we longing for his appearing? Death is not the end of us. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, hey, it's far better to be with the Lord. We miss, we mourn, we may grieve, but not without hope. Those who die faithful in Jesus Christ is far better. Oh, glory, glory. That knowledge should invigorate us. It should incentivize us to keep to the faith. when we hear and read and of others who are departing from the faith, who are leaving sound doctrine, who are listening to antichrist spirits and voices, we should say, Lord, keep me, protect me, bring others around me that they will help me to keep to the faith. Stand loyal to Jesus Christ and to sound doctrine. Hallelujah. The last scripture that we read last Sunday was from Philippians. And we did make this a prayer. And I believe, and from what I understand, the Holy Spirit was at work. And it's something that has remained with some of you, as I understand, this week, that the Lord did a great work. Philippians 3 and verses 8 to 15. And perhaps it will be on the screen. We can read it again out loud. There's something, friends, about speaking the word of God out. I do that at home. It never worked with my cat. I don't believe he was ever saved. I don't know. But I'm on my own a lot of the time, you know, when I am at home, and I declare the word of God. I declare it for my benefit, that I will stay awake, because if you're reading the word out loud, you tend to stay awake. If you read the word, sometimes, you know, you get distracted or you start dozing. Read out loud if you can. The enemy doesn't like it either. It's powerful. It's powerful to read the word. Who knows who might be listening? I don't mean animals. I don't want to be frivolous. But it's the word of God. It's powerful. It's good to speak the word out. I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to pray out loud. So, hallelujah. Yet indeed, let's read this. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the praise of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the word of the Lord. That was Paul's testimony. Hallelujah. It's powerful stuff. Sorry, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think of otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Hallelujah. This is the Apostle Paul, nay, the Lord's prayer for us, encouraging us. And he admitted he hadn't yet apprehended. He hadn't arrived yet. He hadn't received his crown of righteousness. He hadn't yet been made perfect. He still, you know, mucked up from time to time. He needed the blood of Christ. He needed forgiveness. But he knew who he was. He knew that one day he would be with Jesus and receive. And he said, you know, I count all things else but rubbish, that I may know Christ. He said in that, if by any means I may attain. Hallelujah. If by any means. Hallelujah. And yeah, praise be to the Lord. So we need to live for Jesus, don't we? We need to be living for Jesus Christ. Just thinking back to that Revelation passage in chapter 19, verse 6 to 9. See, friends, there's incredible excitement in heaven. What was it all about? In the Revelation passage, what's it all about? There's great excitement. There's great excitement in heaven. Yeah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. What's verse 7 saying? What's verse 7 saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Look, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Talking about the marriage supper. We're talking about finally making it to the Lord by his grace. Hallelujah. There's excitement there. There's excitement. The bride has got herself ready. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And arrayed in fine linen. That is wonderful. Friends, all Christians should be waiting for Jesus. Because the final, the coming of Jesus will be, if you like, the final consummation of our personal salvation. That is the transformation of our physical body. Hallelujah. The transformation of our physical body. Our salvation is not yet complete until we have all received our new, resurrected, heavenly, glorious bodies that will last forever. Hallelujah. Eternity is eternity, whether you're talking about hell or heaven. Don't, friends, I repeat that. It's eternal. It's eternal. And for those who by God's grace have loved him, are longing for his appearing, are persevering in the faith, who are walking in truth, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are putting Christ first, hallelujah, they will be given a new, wonderful body, just like Jesus' resurrected body. And I think, friends, you know, that information alone, that knowledge alone, should give us a new perspective on our salvation. Notice in that last verse we just read from Philippians, it said about the mature. He said, if you're growing in Christ, if you're becoming mature in your faith, that doesn't necessarily mean mature in years, but you are going on with the Lord. This is what we should be looking for. His appearing and this dressing up. Oh, friends, hallelujah. The last verse, verse 15. Mature. Let us, as many as mature, have this in mind. You see, when we're first saved, and if you go out, and this week, by the mercy of the Lord, somebody you witness to just falls on their knees, believe for this, and says, what must I do to be saved? And you point them to Jesus. You point them to the cross. And then you say, it was for you. Christ Jesus came to die for sinners. Hallelujah. That's you. He gave his life that you might live. He has bought you from the slavery to sin and to yourself. And it's wanting to make you alive in Christ Jesus. And when by faith they say, yeah, it was for me. I caused him to die. And he's forgiven me. They're not immediately going to be thinking about their new resurrected body. They're just so excited about finding forgiveness, finding freedom in Christ. They'll want to tell everybody else. Look whom I found. Jesus, the friend of sinners. But as we then go on in our faith and we become more weary of the things of earth, we will long to be with him and our resurrected bodies. Hallelujah. This mortal flesh, this is not our permanent condition. It's one stage. There's life beyond that. Hallelujah. And as we just read, the scriptures tell us it is the mature, those who are growing in their faith, who hold these convictions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in that passage in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about, you know, Paul suffering with Christ. And it talks about attaining to the resurrection. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The Apostle Paul said he wanted a resurrection from the dead. He says, by any means. A lot of people don't want to know about this suffering as Jesus suffered. But unless we suffer with him, we won't enjoy the resurrection. Hallelujah. There is a cost to it. The Apostle Paul says in this passage, I love it. I hope you've been meditating on it this week. Because if it's really getting into your spirit, you'll want to press on. You can forget about those things of the past. Forget those things, which the regrets and the things which Satan wants to bring into your memory. No, I am pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the completer of my faith. Hallelujah. Paul has a tremendous, tremendous priority about Jesus' return and the resurrection. He says, by any means. That says that whatever obstacles will get in the way, he's still going to press on. It's something that he's longing for, looking for. It's an incentive to him. It should be incentive to us. The Apostle Paul had such strong convictions of this resurrection from the dead that he wanted to be part of it. We read in Revelation that as Christians, we are resident on earth. But we are, our citizenship is not here. Our permanent citizenship is in heaven. And in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, we eagerly await our Savior, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus. What does it say? He says in Philippians, who will transform our lowly bodies or our bodies of humiliation to become like his glorious body, the body of his glory. Hallelujah. That excited the Apostle Paul. If it's not exciting us, we need to fall on our knees. And ask the Lord for mercy. I was going to quote from Revelation. It says, blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Hallelujah! If we take part in that first resurrection, we have nothing to fear. Hallelujah! Glory to God! It has no power over us. Death, truly, there is no sting in death or in the grave for the believer. Wonderful. This should excite us and give us that further determination not to live for Jesus now. And if we're living for Jesus now, we will want, with the enabling power of God's Holy Spirit, to make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Paul's aim was the transformation of the body, from the earthly body as we know it, to a heavenly resurrected body. Glory to glory. The Apostle Paul placed so much importance on the coming of Jesus, on the resurrection, on the transformation of the body. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 2 to 4. What does the Apostle Paul say here? Colossians 3, verses 2 to 4. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also you'll appear with him in glory. Wow. Am I setting my mind on things above? We have to deal with things on earth. Of course we do. We all have responsibilities. Some of us have anxieties and burdens. But we take them to the Lord. We must not be overwhelmed by the cares and the worries of this life. If we are, faith goes out the window. Without faith, you cannot please your God. The more we set our things, our thoughts and our minds on things above, God's going to take care of the things on earth. God will. We've heard one or two testimonies here this morning. God will take care of things on earth, providing we are seeking to put him first. And if you're setting your heart and your mind on things above, that's your treasure. Hallelujah. Where your heart is, your treasure is. Hallelujah. The evil can't get at it. Moth can't destroy it. Rust cannot make it imperfect. It's safe with the Lord. Hallelujah. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, there's several references to the resurrection and about being raised again at the last day. John chapter 6, being raised again at the last day. This is Jesus' own words. In verse 39 of chapter 6, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." See, resurrection. Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." This is Jesus in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 54. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." What? "And I will raise him up at the last day." Glory be to his name. Jesus was talking about our, as it were, devouring the whole of the salvation message. Not just part of the salvation message, but the whole of the salvation message. By accepting him as Savior, by believing on him, loving him, being grateful for him, obeying him, trusting him, worshipping him, suffering with him, and being raised with him. Hallelujah. That's the culmination of the Christian gospel message. And we need to keep focus on the completion of our lives, which is resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. See, many believers only seem to focus on the things of this earth. That's a big mistake. And if you this morning have got your focus just on the challenges, the problems, the issues of this earth, you've got your focus wrong. And fear will come. Unbelief will come. You will lose heart. And the scripture says, I don't want you to lose heart. God says, I don't want you to lose heart. Set your mind on the things of Christ, on the things above. Let him take care of your challenges. Commit them to him. Do not be overburdened, but let the Lord bring his grace and power at work. Let him take control. Hallelujah. Our hopes and our lives should be on the things of Christ. Hallelujah. One day, our old body will be raised from the grave, raised from the ashes, raised from the sea, wherever, and we'll take on a body like unto Jesus. Wow. Wow. Glory be to his name. We will truly be made alive again. If this is our hope, if this is what is our determination, that I'm going to see him and will be raised again, receive my crown of righteousness, I'm longing for him to come, it will affect our attitudes and life now. It may get us into trouble with the world. It may get us into trouble with the authorities, even members of our own family. But Christ will be for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? He has severe warnings for those who are lukewarm, for those who are compromising, for those who are putting pleasure, the world first, for those who are not dying to self and living for Jesus, who are not walking the walk. Because if we're not, we are going to miss out on our destiny here below and what lies ahead. Friends, death, unless we have a firm belief and get excited about this resurrection, it's like reading a book and missing out the last chapter. It really is. It really is. I encourage you. When you're talking to people, tell them about this. Hallelujah. There's much more to salvation than just eternal life. And I don't say that flippantly. Eternal life, if you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, if he indwells you, wow, you are a victorious person. You belong to a great army. But there's much more. There's much more. The pinnacle of human history is the resurrection. If you like, our salvation can be likened to an engagement, to a betrothal, such as people have before their actual marriage. Our union with Jesus will not be complete until our resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you longing for his appearing? It's going to make so much difference. And you'll indeed be living. Can you just put that Revelation passage back on again? Revelation chapter 6, Godson, as we... chapter 19. Thank you. Verses 6 to 9. Thanks, Godson. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us be glad. These are the voices of the people who are around the throne of God, who are enjoying this banquet, this feast, this marriage supper. There's excitement there. It's indescribable. The scripture talks about the marriage feast. There will be a union with Jesus that we cannot possibly imagine. In human language, this union is so wonderful that it's virtually indescribable. As Christians, we are the bride. Wow. If we're not excited about this eternity with God, with a brand new resurrected body, we need to repent and ask the Lord to draw us back to himself and for his word to truly enter us and impact us. We sang that great song this morning, you know, about our Jehovah Jireh, and let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. This is the word of God. We need to declare it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we have our eyes on Jesus, setting our thoughts and hearts on Christ above, the things above, and on that day when we will see him and receive that crown of righteousness and our new resurrected body, we will more and more live for Christ here below. Those idols, those idolatrous thoughts and things which have got in the way, we will say, Lord, I want to lose them. Not just temporary, for good. Anything that hinders my walk with you now, my life of faith now, root it out. I don't want any part of it. I want to be ready for your appearing. I want to be made ready as part of your bride. Hallelujah. Just turn in finally to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 1 to 10. You see, friends, there is a message here that the Lord really, really does want to break through in your life and my life. Many are called, but few are chosen. Some are called, but feel that they are too busy about the call to serve God, and they pay little attention. Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." We've just read there that one man went to his farm, another one went to his business, others just did not heed the call. Many missed out. Indeed, like in the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, were ready, 5 were foolish, and were not ready. They neglected to get themselves ready. Some people may try to sneak into the marriage supper, but will be ejected because they are not wearing the necessary wedding garment, which is the lifelong righteous deeds. If we're truly longing for Jesus appearing, it shows in the way we live. And this longing, friends, should cultivate in you and cultivate in me personal holiness. Amen. Because there's no substitute for holiness and righteousness. And as we read the New Testament, we see that one of the greatest single motivations offered by the apostles for holiness of life is the anticipation of the Lord's return and the resurrection. And where Christians are not living in that eager anticipation of the Lord's return, the standard of holiness in those Christians, it's shown that they are living below what Christ wants and what is the New Testament standard. As I conclude, longing for his appearing, receiving that crown of righteousness, being transformed, having a body transformed like his own body, a glorious body. That's someday in the future. We don't know when, but we're living today. Who likes flowers? Who likes beautiful flowers? Who likes going to gardens, Nyman's and places like that? Perhaps you've got a lovely garden at home. We all like beautiful things, don't we? We love seeing some of God's wonderful creation, the lovely flowers and so on. But what comes amongst the flowers? The weeds. They have to be rooted out, don't they? And it has to be persistent, okay? Jesus said, you know, when they were sleeping, when they were not alert, when they had their mind on other things, when they were just consumed with their own life, their own circumstances, the enemy came in, and so tares among them. Tares are quite similar to wheat. They sow tares amongst the field of wheat. They look very similar. That's the enemy's business, to sow weeds, to sow tares. He doesn't want you to believe this message. He wants you to be consumed by the things of this world and to become worldly. That's his. Because the enemy doesn't want you to get to your destiny. He doesn't want you to fulfill what God has for you on this earth so that you one day will receive your crown of righteousness because of the righteous deeds that you have done in his strength and in his name. Hallelujah. What weeds are still in your life? What weeds are still in mine? They've got to be dug up, taken out. The enemy wants to keep you from fulfilling all that we have spoken of this morning. Let's pray. The call of the Lord upon you and upon me this morning is that we're going to so hate those weeds. We're going to so hate those weeds. We're going to detest those weeds. If we hate those weeds, those tares, we will be vigilant. Lord, will you protect your anointing? Protect your anointing on me. Protect your water of life. We want, Lord, to protect our weapons of war, our garments of salvation, those garments of praise. Your harvest, Lord, we don't want the enemy to steal that harvest, that destiny, that resurrection. So help us to stay awake. Lord, we don't want the devil to mess with our destiny. Search me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me. I'll be led into the life, the way everlasting. If you feel that there's things which you would like to just put right now with the Lord, just come. Where you are, use these next few moments wisely. If you've been weighed down with the cares of life, if apathy has got a hold on you, if you've lost your spark, the fire, God's given you a wonderful, gracious opportunity. He doesn't want you or me to miss out on our destiny here and the culmination of receiving our crown and laying our crowns at the feet of Jesus and spending an eternity with him, reigning with him. You've lost that. If you're not reigning in faith with him now, if you're not seated in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if you've come to love the world again more than Jesus, we need to repent. Dig out those weeds. So don't let this opportunity go by. The Lord loves you and wants the best for you. We heard about humbling ourselves before the Lord. Christ.